You are now listening to a podcast made in collaboration with the Copenhagen College Radio.
Welcome to the seventh episode of the Social Media and Politics Podcast, bringing you expert insights into how social media is changing political engagement in the digital age. I'm your host, Michael Pesetta, PhD student at the University of Copenhagen. Thanks for joining us. If you like the podcast, please show us a little love by subscribing and leaving a short review on the iTunes Store. It really helps spread the word. You can also keep up with all the latest episodes on Twitter, at SMNP Podcast. Now, it's no secret that social media is associated with the younger generations, ranging from young adults down into the tweens. So I was interested in finding out a bit more about political parties and reaching out to young voters. My guest today is Emily Demont, web editor and social media coordinator for Venstre's Ungdom, the political youth organization of the Danish political party Venstre. Venstre is Denmark's center-right liberal party, and their leader, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, is currently the prime minister of Denmark. Emily is here in studio in Copenhagen to share a bit about Venstre's youth organization and how they're using social media to communicate with young voters. Emily, pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a bit about Venstre and Venstre's Ungdom? We've got quite a few listeners from the States who might not be familiar with Danish politics or what a youth organization actually does.
Well, we are a youth organization cooperating with Venstre, but we're two very separate organizations. We're not just legally, but we also have our own politics. So our politics, it differs from Venstre. They're perhaps a bit more center than we are. But we are a political youth organization, but we're also an organization that does non-political events. We have parties, and a lot of people have met some of their very good friends, boyfriend, girlfriends, wives, husbands in VU. So it's something more than politics. But we work and cooperate with Venstre on campaigning and elections, and also on social media.
And so you're the web editor of Venstre's Ungdom, right?
Yes.
Which we were just talking before the show that you actually have to get elected to.
Yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
First of all, and it's volunteer, right? You don't get paid.
I don't get paid. No. Everyone volunteers. We get elected on an annual conference, which was in September. I got elected for the executive board as well as the web editor. So yeah, none of us get paid.
Did you have to campaign for that position?
Not my position. No.
Okay.
I was the only candidate, but there were more candidates than positions on some of the others.
Uh-huh. I bet they'll be coming to you to run their social media campaigns at the next time. But what exactly does your job entail? What is it that you do day to day?
I edit our magazine that publishes five times a year, and then I edit our website, vu.dk, and a monthly newsletter, and then I coordinate all social media. And I also teach our local associations how to use social media.
Mm-hmm. So local associations, like in other parts of Denmark?
Yes. Or,
okay. So you guys are the head office, so to say.
Yes, you can say it like that.
Cool. And so why is it that VU is using social media to communicate? And who is your target audience?
Well, we did a survey within our members, and it showed that social media is by far the most used way to get information on VU. So that's why we use it. Everyone is on Facebook, and everyone is on Instagram and Snapchat, and they check social media more often than mail or letters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's easier to communicate with our members as well as other politically interested liberal young people.
So you're looking specifically at this kind of target liberal youth. It's not
Yes.
that you're trying to bring in people from other sides of the political spectrum.
No, I would say as a political youth organization, we also have a responsibility we feel, to get young people just to vote, not necessarily for Venstre, but just for something, and to engage them in politics. So that's also what it's about.
Getting a little bit more specific, what social media platforms are you on, and which ones do you think seem to work the best?
We're on Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, and on Twitter. I'd say Facebook is working best. We have by far the most followers, likes on Facebook.
And it's about what, 18,000, I think, when I
was. Yes.
Yep.
And on Instagram, roughly 2,000 followers, and I think we have around 500-600 friends on Snapchat. But we use Facebook more for campaigning and to sort of send out our messages.
And what is it that you're campaigning about? You know, as a political party, you're obviously campaigning to get votes that translate into power. So what are you campaigning about for a youth organization?
Well, we're campaigning a lot on education. That's very important because a lot of our members and our target groups, they study something. So that's important, but also things as lower tax and more freedom. That's sort of what we try to communicate. We try to make it a little bit bigger and more about telling the story about why politics are important rather than talking about jobs, wages, and so, because that's perhaps not as important to our target group as perhaps education and more about engaging in politics.
Which is kind of interesting because Denmark is, as a country, has a pretty highly engaged public. So you're speaking to a group that's kind of primed to be participating in politics, but I guess you're more communicating your platform or your message.
Yes, you can say it like that.
And how is it, you were saying that your policies kind of differ a bit from Venstre, the political party. So how do you decide what it is that you're going to communicate, or you're saying lower taxes, more freedom? Are these things that the executive board decides, or is it do you have meetings to come up with what exactly you want to campaign about and prioritize?
Every year on our annual conference, any member of VU can put in a suggestion to a piece of politics. It can either be remove that tax or do like that or use more money on whatever. And the entire Congress votes. So that's actually how our politics are decided. It's by the members on our annual conference.
And how do you become a member?
You can become a member on our website. We have a shop, an online shop. And the price is 100 kroner a year,
which is about $13 just for our for our US listeners.
That's about it. A year, and then you're a member, and you can join.
Now, can I join as a?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that. So, how does your communication strategy differ across the different platforms? So you said you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Do you take into account the differences in those platforms when you're trying to communicate?
Yes, a lot. We use Facebook mostly for political messages. We try to make it more into graphics and explaining politics more easily with pictures and so on. Whereas Instagram is more used to tell the stories from local places. Perhaps they in Aalborg, they have some sort of political meeting or someone is coming to speak for them. So we post that on Instagram. So it's a little bit more low key. And Snapchat is used when we have bigger meetings, such as the annual conference or a national board meeting or whatever. Then we use Snapchat to sort of give a more personal look on what the organization is.
Yeah, I've followed some of these youth organizations on Snapchat, and there's a lot of drinking involved in the Snapchat stories.
Yeah, true.
So, which is kind of interesting that I guess it's not as uptight or as regulated as a political party would be.
I think that's very important because when politics become more low-key and more easy to engage in, we think that it can make more young people engage in politics.
Interesting. So you had mentioned these memes or using graphics to communicate, and we've seen that in quite a few of the previous guests on the show. So and it looks like it takes quite a bit of a graphic design to put those together. So how do you develop those memes, and what are the issues that you're pushing at the moment?
We have a committee that is working with these campaigns, the memes. They produce them graphically. And I think that it makes politics more easy to understand. And we see that people, they don't like the real politicians. They don't like Lars Løkke or Mette Frederiksen, which is the chairman of the Social Democratic Party. They don't like the real politicians. They find them either corrupt or, well, they don't trust them. So we try to make a different angle on politics with these memes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of cool. And can you tell us a little bit about what those memes are about? So, like, what are you guys talking about at the moment?
At the moment, we're talking a lot about euthanasia here in Denmark, which is quite a big subject. It comes goes a little bit up and down. Then the lower tax, where especially we have an extra tax for people making more than $500,000 a year. And we want that one removed. And then generally state-sponsored companies.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of three things we're working on right now.
And so, again, as you were saying, there's a difference between what Venstre's Ungdom advocates and then a more moderate platform of Venstre. But I'm interested in the coordination between Venstre's Ungdom and Venstre. Like, do you have a contact person or how does that relationship work?
Yes, I have an almost daily contact with Venstre and the people in Venstre who are coordinating press and media and social media. So we're very tight connected on that one. And I also, we use each other a lot. I have a lot of people behind me who I can put in either on Facebook or on Twitter, say, we need some help. Can you please like this or so on? And they use us or they help us by giving, you know, tips and social media strategies because they are a bit more funded than we are.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you use them to say, for example, can you retweet this to get exposure or can you like this to drive engagement?
Yes, we help them sometimes on campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And is it generally a good relationship that you guys have?
Yes, I'd say we have a very good relationship with Minster.
Okay. And has there ever been an occasion where they say, no, you can't post that? Or are they able to say that?
They're not able, or they are able to say that. We don't always listen, but yes, and sometimes they do. We have also been running a few campaigns criticizing Venstre. They raised the taxes at some point. We were out telling them that we thought that was a bad idea on social media and in the press, and they got a bit upset, but it's also our job to make sure that they stay on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Also because you guys are the future of that party.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about user engagement. So you're keeping track of all these different social media platforms. And what is it in your experience that drives the most engagement or reactions to your posts?
I'd say everything that is some sort of either pictures, videos, GIFs, memes, whatever. I think it's easier. It's an easier response than, for example, a long text explaining some sort of politics. People tend to scroll down, both on Facebook as well as Instagram and Snapchat. So we have to be quick, and we have to make something that attracts attention very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And how do people react? Like, what's going on in the comment fields on your Facebook page? Is it a deliberative debate? Are people sharing issues, or is it something else?
We have a lot of people commenting good stuff, either debating. We like it when we can explain and when we can debate and when people actually engage in what we do. But sadly, they are almost outnumbered by people who either think that we are cruel or we steal from the poor or we want to kill children or...
Jeez.
Yeah, yes. But that's mostly in private messages people write to us.
Okay, so they actually take, we will, you know, call them trolls. These people they contact you directly on Facebook.
Yes, and they write to our page saying whatever, lovely stuff.
Why do you think it is that they do it privately instead of publicly?
Actually, I don't know, because when we look at Venstre and Venstre politicians, their pages, it's much more public, but people write more directly to us. I actually don't know. It seems a bit odd.
Mm. And what else do people write to you about? I mean, do you get a lot of private messages? You know, do you get a couple a day, or is it kind of spread out?
We have a few messages a day, I'd say. A lot of them are school students wanting to know where we stand on whatever mm-hmm. political subject. That's a lot of them.
And it's your job to respond to them?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We respond to them. When it's good questions, it can be very useful. And I find it very nice that people have actually chosen to write something about politics. That's wonderful.
So what about Snapchat? Are people sending you snaps back to your account?
Yeah, they do. Mostly it's quite fun when people answer our Snapchats, just until that some creeps are starting to send Snapchats to us. That has happened a few times.
I'm thinking if the nasty messages go to your Facebook page, what is the nasty equivalent on Snapchat?
We have a few nasty Snapchats every now and then that we have to block, but...
All right. We don't want to put the explicit button on iTunes.
No,
so we'll keep it PG.
But I say mostly it's fun that people engage with us.
And you were saying that when they respond. So are you using Snapchat? Are you asking them questions or inviting them to snap you back?
We try. We try to get people to either ask us something or respond, or at least think about what it is that we're sending out. And at least just if we can get people to think about politics just once in a while, it's great.
Mm. So do you have any policies about moderating your Facebook page? Do you take away posts that are critical or that use bad language, or is it totally an open free speech forum?
We don't take away posts that are critical. We want the debate on social media, but we have had people or messages, comments, calling some of our members on the executive board and our chairman and so on idiots and killing children mm-hmm. and whatever, whores and so on, and we remove them. We don't find that they do any good.
Because of the language or because of the personal attacks?
Because of the personal attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right to disagree, and we like the debate, but we want a nice language.
Makes sense. And so what about analytics? Do you use the analytics that Facebook gives about your page when you're looking to make new posts?
Yes. We do. We use both the analytics on Facebook and on Instagram and the Google Analytics and also WordPress that our website has built on also logs a lot of data on both our social media as well as on the website. And we use them a lot to just to find out target groups, times of the day, days, trying to make it more efficient.
And do you get any help with Venster in that? As you're saying, they have more resources, so maybe they have a little bit more an idea about how to use these tools.
A little bit. It's when we ask, yes, we do get help, but most of it we're doing on our own, actually.
Interesting. So just wrapping up, what's your favorite part about the job?
That I get to follow the development on social media and on the internet. When I started, I had no idea how to use the Adobe InDesign and Photoshop, but I've learned a lot, and I get to follow the constant development on the internet and on social media, and I think that's quite a gift.
Is it something that you want to continue on working with in the future?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Well, you'll be on the job market soon, so we'll put it out there. But Emily, thanks so much for taking the time out to share your insights with us.
Thank you.
I've just been speaking with Emily Demont, web editor and social media coordinator for Venster's Ungdom. You can check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/Venster's Ungdom or check out their website, www.vu.dk. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please pass through the iTunes store, leave us a short review, and help spread the word. There's a short video on how to leave a review on our Facebook page, facebook.com/socialmediaandpoliticspodcast. Big thanks to Copenhagen University for the studio, Earfunk for the jams, and Peter Orbeck for editing. I'm your host, Michael Bassetto, signing off from Copenhagen. See you next time.